Welcome back. This is Public Address Radio on Radio Live. You might have noticed last week that the seven wonders of the modern world have been chosen by vast popular vote. Finalists included the Great Wall of China, the Colosseum, and the Taj Mahal. Also in the running were the Statue of Liberty and the Sydney Opera House. But if you look up and down the list of nominations, you'll search in vain for the mention of anything from Auckland. Well, if we try really hard, maybe we might come up with something worthy of the list when we redevelop the land at Wynyard Point, otherwise known as the Tank Farm. It's a marvellous piece of land on the Auckland waterfront, and the plan change, which was notified last Sunday and gives the public 5 weeks to make their submissions, might deliver that standby of every modern debate about public facilities, something iconic and, of course, vibrant. But ARC Councillor Joel Cayford, who is the Chair of the Transport Policy and Regional Land Transport Committee, is underwhelmed. He fears we might yet be again settling for something that's just mediocre, and we've asked him in to talk about that. Joel, what does this plan propose to do?
This is a district plan change that's been notified, and it basically rezones the land from what it's been used for, which, as you say, tanks, marine industry, etc., etc., for a mix of residential, commercial, and still the marine industry, and a headland park. So that's what. And the commercial and residential developments are quite high, and the commercial or the public spaces that interweave through those private spaces and by the edge of the water are quite narrow. And the public provision through there is extremely limited, and it's not something that we're really going to be proud of. And it's not a space, really, that's going to draw the Auckland public down to it and say, we must go, this is a destination, this is a must see, we must go down, it's going to be really fun.
So yeah, I looked at the drawings and thought, oh, more rich people's apartments, which seems to be the blight of waterfront development in Auckland. They block out everything.
Yeah, well, we've seen a certain amount of that on Prince's Wharf with the Hilton. You walk around the Viaduct Basin, there's a lot of rich people's apartments around there and boats parked out the front and nothing else for the broader public to see and do down there. And it's my concern about that we're going to replicate that down at Wynyard Point in these areas which are to be developed. Yes, there's a bit of a park at the end, but just talking about those developments, it was the port company, when the land was in its ownership, that it set it up to say, well, we've got to act commercially here. We've got to maximise return from this land. And so in terms of rents, leases, licences, they projected about $30 million revenue a year from that when it's developed. ARC has inherited all of that, and it's not really been changed. It's still $30 million a year to fund public transport. We all want public transport. I'm chair of public transport. But to me, this land is far more important for its the use to infinity than it is to fund public transport along the way now.
And all you've got, if I understand you right, is that it is essentially buildings and open grassed spaces, but nothing more specific than that. Have I got that right? There'll be some working wharves or something of that sort. But
well, one of the wharves will be retained by the fishing fleet. But again, the tendency is that when Auckland does this stuff, it really sanitises. It goes in there with the blowtorch, so the kind of patina of kind of rust and old wooden piles and things like that gets expunged. Chrome, stainless steel, and really flash concrete goes up. And the fishing fleet, they're not really, you know, it's not really, they wouldn't be able to pay the rents particularly, so they're at risk. And so if you like, the character of the area is at risk. And what you're talking about there, an iconic building or an iconic facility, people talked about an art gallery or some other kinds of thing, could go there, but it would have to go in the green space at the end. And the access to that's not great because you've got to walk through a whole bunch of residential apartments to get there. It's not really an integrated design at the moment. The design that we're staring at and that people are being asked to sign off on pretty much is the commercial design that the port company prepared some 2 years ago, and it needs to be changed now. We've gone on from there. We're looking at something that's kind of, I don't know, other cities were doing 20 years ago. When it's built, it'll be 15 years on. It'll look like yesterday's waterfront, not tomorrow's.
Let's talk about other cities, because you were in Europe a few months ago taking a look at what various places were doing. You've seen good, bad and ugly, haven't you?
Well, I'm an ARC councillor, been mostly interested in water and public transport up to now, didn't really know about waterfronts, didn't know what world-class waterfronts meant, which is the wording we had labelled over this one at Wynyard Point. So I thought, this is not really good enough. What does this tell me about what we're going to get? So at my own cost, I went to several in Northern Europe, basically where reclaimed dockland was being reused for waterfront developments, to see what they were doing, to make them work, to make them popular. And they're very different from each other. And we haven't really learned from some of the things that they're doing, which we could be doing here. I saw in the Baltic in Sweden, people jumping into the sea from their waterfront developments, and their temperature was like 12, 14 degrees, coming out, lying in the sun, all set up for that kind of thing. We're not providing anything in the way of activating the water edge for people to use. And the promenade spaces that we're giving are too narrow. The park is not the be-all and end-all. Those of you who have been to Bayswater Peninsula, which is a reclamation, it's a windswept, cold place.
And
it's empty because it's windswept. You try going there a couple of days ago when we were having the 100K winds. But, I mean, it's buildings have a very important role in windy places about shifting the way the wind moves, creating shady spots, sunny spots, nooks and crannies where people love to gather, no matter the weather. And an empty spot is, which is what this headland park will be, is not what is being done in Europe. They've done what they tried those. People didn't use them. So they said, we've got to integrate development with these spaces, make wide public spaces, but interlinked with appropriate development so that you get the mix right.
So would, say, something like an international hotel even be a better option down there, because at least it would bring people?
Well, I think one of the...
You could have a conference centre as well, rather than just more of those apartments.
Well, one of the taller buildings, I think, is thought of that it could well be an international hotel. But what I saw in Denmark, in Roskilde, was they have the Viking culture there, and they felt that was really precious to kind of give effect to that in their waterfront redevelopment. So they had two types of museum. One was a living museum, where they were building replica Viking longboats, had them moored up along their own wharves, and people were able to come down. I saw busloads of kids coming down and tourists come down, get in the longboat that's the right size for them, paddle it out into the Baltic, haul up the sail, go for a sail, come back, and go into a class and have Viking culture interpreted to them. Next to them, they have a sort of a te papa-type building that's got the remains of longboats that have been hauled out of the sea from centuries ago. And so they have a real pride in that. In New Zealand, we've got a rich tradition of kind of maritime history, huge, huge. And so we've got people wanting to put their heritage boats down there. But Māori, there used to be waka races in the Waitemata Harbour. The Tainui waka canoe came in Waitemata Harbour. We could be having replica Māori waka built down there, launched down there, and people having a go and having that culture. We're a Polynesian city, the Polynesian capital. So these are kinds of things that we could be thinking about. These kind of ideas are not on the table at the moment, and they should be.
And there are 5 weeks for public submissions now, is that right?
5 weeks for public submissions. It's been widely advertised in the Herald. The City Scene newspapers are going out telling you how to put in submissions. It's really important that people submit, that we get the best that we can enjoy. Think of the spaces that you love from your own travel, and think of how they can be there down at the Wynyard Point, because they're not there at the moment.
Joel Cayford there, and if you want to know more, you could go to the Auckland City website, and also on our website we'll have a link to Joel's website, which has an interesting link of pictures and impressions of various parts of Europe that are doing interesting things on the waterfront. Coming up after the break, we have James Griffin telling us all about the new series of Outrageous Fortune.